Guy, foot loose.
Everybody dance, everybody dance now. Everybody dance now. Kevin Bacon.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
I don't know if I've seen Footloose. I don't think I've seen the whole movie. But I know that whenever I'm alone at home washing dishes and a really fun dancey song comes on, just naturally, without thinking, and when I know nobody's around to worry about how I look when I'm dancing, I break into that sort of arm swinging, footstep forward, Footloose dance. Like, that's my natural mode of dancing.
I was going to say, you don't have to have seen the movie to know the mythology. It's like Chaucer that way.
That's right.
It's about a repressive community that doesn't like dancing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. John Lithgow is like a religious, like a preacher. Like, he's an evangelist, and he won't allow dancing in the community.
Ariel, I cannot let this dance happen. I object to that kind of music, and I think you know why.
Because people fornicate to it.
I never said that.
That's what you told the church board.
That was not meant for your ears.
And he's also the hot girl's dad.
I'm not even a virgin.
So. That's an unfortunate turn of fortune.
Yeah, it all works out, though.
Short movie summaries by Adam Lissagor.
It all works out, or it doesn't.
I think you're right, though. I think that movie did penetrate pretty deeply.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly informed how I learned to dance. And, you know, when I went to a sock hop and INXS would come on, that would be how we would dance until 90, 91. And then your OPPs. Get out with OPP. Yeah, you know me. Get out with OPP. Yeah, you know me. And your jump arounds. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Came through the system.
That's true. There was a time before dancing was like masculinized and hip-hop-ified. And before that time, it was just aerobicized. That's how men danced, too. And dressed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We all dance like this.
If you go back and watch like Saturday Night Fever, you know, between the disco, when they're rehearsing the dance, they're all wearing thongy unitard, leotard, thongy thongs with their chest hair.
Oh, right. And I guess that's because they assume there'd be a lot of stretching and a lot of sort of, like, your arms are going to fly away from your body. Your legs are going to fly away from your body. There's going to be a lot of motion that, as we've gotten closer to the modern era of dance, has become much more inward and sort of compressed.
Right.
I think I learned to dance. There's something that I used to do with my body that I think I might have learned to dance from watching the Go-Go's. Can you hear us? They talk about us. Telling my will, that was the price. Can you see them?
Yeah.
I used to do that thing, that thing where you kind of juke. And you move your arms like you're in an aerobics class, but you're also doing like a little one leg up at a time thing.
Right.
It's kind of like a little skanky ska dance.
Right. I can picture you doing it, sort of your head bobbing forward.
I
as
can too.
Yeah.
There was a weird spate in the 80s where suddenly out of nowhere, you know, people were dancing and there was music in movies again. It was very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But what's clear is that up until the early 90s, it was white people that had dancing on lockup. And we were all worse off for that. It wasn't until it became like part of just common knowledge that white people can't dance. Was that the 90s or was that before?
No, I think it was certainly started, you know, black people dancing well on national TV or at least regional TV with Soul Train. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there was any sort of sense that you should feel bad for your weird running in place looking dance.
Right.
As a white person. So really, this comes back to one of my theories that as I get older makes more and more sense. You know, a little shame can really help a culture out every once in a while. And feeling a little bit of shame that you're dancing just sort of looks like two snakes attached to a paper bag, maybe it can be better. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe you should feel bad for that dumb dance.
Well, Scott, I totally agree. And it's a lesson we learned in the 80s. And it starts with the prim librarian who takes off her glasses and lets down her hair. And she's a little bit sexy. That starts with shame.
And not to always talk about how lithe and physically capable you are, Adam, but let's all be honest. You're a great dancer, and you're so much better than... I've never seen Merlin dance, but just like I've never seen Merlin drive, I assume he's not very good at either one.
No.
Yeah, I'm way more comfortable with my body movements than a man of my stature should be.
Is Rerun.
Yeah, that's true.
I used to love to watch Rerun dance.
Good looking man with that toupee. That, I just said toupee, but I meant the other thing. What does the French guy wear? What does Rerun wear on his head?
Oh, that's right, a crepe. A potpourri.
Yeah.
A beret. It's not a toupee. Yeah. Oh, I'm an idiot. Anyhow.
Bernays sauce.
I was raised with dance classes. I was forced into dance classes at a very early age. But again, it was in the mid-80s when men in leotards was the epitome of masculine sexuality.
How has this not come up before?
I feel like it has. You have a photo of me wearing sequins and a little bow tie and a tutu.
Okay. That's a nice thing about not having a very good memory. I feel like I'm still getting to know you guys.
Yeah, we could just start over. We should.
You guys like the Bible?
I know we've talked a little bit about dancing before, but I want to just relay one thing that happened recently that I witnessed. Mm-hmm. Adam and I were in Portland for a really great gathering of nerds and friends called the XOXO Festival. Fest?
Yeah, festival.
And the last night of the festival, there was a party, and it was kind of getting quieter. You know, it was quite late at night, and the dance floor had thinned out. I was at the bar where I'm most comfortable. I looked over, and Adam was leading like an African drum circle, but for dancing.
Yeah.
Everybody had their role to play, and you were clearly the leader, and everybody's kind of doing like the Russian, like you look like you guys were rehearsing the Michael Jackson's Black or White video.
Right. It was rhythmic, and it was just posing. It was more like abstract performance art, and we were all very, very drunk.
The way that I saw them looking at you, though, I realized you could have just sort of turned around, waved your arms, and skipped out the door, and they would have followed you to... What you guys could have taken out a Safeway. You could have done anything with those guys. They were in your thrall. You had dance hypnotized them. It was amazing.
Yeah, I can do that.
Do you start out tight and then loosen up? Because I think the time most white people dance is at weddings. And it starts out a little slow. You know, somebody goes out there and there's always the couple that's like been to Arthur Murray.
They're the worst.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, they're worse.
It's that one couple, and like they might as well be wearing like spangly clothes, and they've got moves, and they put their hands in the air in a real kind of fruity way.
And they're timeless too. It's like every generation has that. And for my generation, it was the swing dancers, where it didn't matter what music was playing; it could have been like Prince, and they come out and start twirling each other.
Tom Waits.
Yeah.
It's like people with magic tricks. Like they're just all they need is just a little lull in conversation. They're pulling coins out of shit. I had a friend who started going to, a good friend, who started going to Arthur Murray, you know, because I think like a lot of people, he wanted to, you know, be in proximity to people and, you know, have a chance to meet people. And it turned out it was a little bit of a racket, a little bit of a pyramid scheme. When you go to Arthur Murray, you start out, nothing against Arthur Murray, I think he's deceased, but you go there, you know, it's a lot like a cult. You go in and you're ready to receive wisdom, and then you start moving up a little bit, right? Like you're only a student for so long, but I think you're still teaching and you're paying, and it's you know, it's a little bit like those stress tests they give you on the subway.
Yeah.
I think it's
interesting,
know?
Like the improv classes in LA or
sure. I've heard about this. Is this really true?
Mm-hmm. I've heard. I've never done it.
My niece is really good at improv, and she went through, I think, like UCB in New York, I guess. She went in, and it was totally like that. It was a Ponzi, not a Ponzi scheme. It was a yes-and Ponzi scheme, where you go in, and you take some classes, and you move up, and I don't know. I guess I admire that, you know? It's certainly a way to bootstrap a small business, I guess.
Sure. I think lots of those sort of educational environments, when you're in that gray area between beginner and master... The organization can exploit the fact that you know a little bit and can teach the people below you, like a TA in college who gets a little bit of money or gets money off their tuition for teaching the intro classes at a school.
The elegance of it is fascinating because my mom you know, she has some friends who are like, hey, you know, we're going to have a, you know, we'll have a party, come over, we're going to do makeup. And pretty soon she's writing a check and she's selling Mary Kay. Mm. She went over there to get moisturized, and before you knew it, she had two pink cases full of cream. That's how it works. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you in.
I got two pink cases full of cream.
You do travel a lot. You know, I got to tell you, though, I think there is really a certain elegance to that. I mean, you got to find a system that works. If you're going to have a business that grows, you're going to have to count on, you know, converting your customers into super customers, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Adam, were you ever involved in one of these kind of situations?
I'm going to be a dad.
Ah, yay!
Merlin, I'm going to be a dad.
Holy shit, Adam!
Yay!
Scott, do you see how good he is at that?
Hand clapping sounds really terrible in a microphone.
That sounds awful. Holy, is this part of the show? Oh my God, Adam.
Adam Lissagor.
Wow. Isn't that fun? We found out it's going to be a boy.
Well, yay!
What?
Thank God.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm really happy about.
We got to stop clapping. Adam, this is... We got to start over.
Awkward cake.
We're just going to lose all of our listeners. Well, it's just going to be all that all the time.
Oh, no. Should I keep them in the closet?
What do you guys mean when you say powder and sleeping?
So you just... I don't even know what. I don't know what to say.
We're one trimester in, so we got 6 months till go time.
That's wonderful.
So you waited. You waited that respectable amount of time, make sure everything's going to work out, and you already know.
Yeah, that's what they tell you to do. But yeah, there's a test now. It's a way early test because technology, you know, and so we already know.
Wow, what's the test? It's like you take your temperature and...
I forget what it's called. No, it's just a, you know, it's a blood test. Well, not my blood. They took her blood and they figured it out.
They take blood out of your child's penis, or they don't take any blood out of your child's penis.
It's called a moil. My God, that's, you know, I think also they look for, they're looking to detect urine. I think they can tell from the urine.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it pee in there?
I mean, let me explain. I am not a doctor in the medical sense.
They look for a pinup calendar on the wall of the womb.
A little baby Farrah Fawcett.
Wow, Adam, this is, you know what? We got to start over. I got nothing on this.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? No, we can go back to talking about...
No,
some bullshit. Boy.
Well, no, you know...
Where do we begin? We got, God, you know, what? I think at some point, maybe not yet, I don't know if you're ready, but I think we got a lot of advice for you, Adam. I mean,
yeah, well, sure.
I think the best part about knowing that you're going to have a baby is the advice.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's why I mentioned it on the show, because I wanted to get a little bit of that wisdom, some of that dad wisdom.
Well, yeah. You know, it's never too late to leave.
Never. I mean, the thing is, it's always there. It's like Nietzsche says, you know? You could step into that disused minivan you're making payments on and just roll toward the sunset.
That is one thing that I've found to be helpful, even though I haven't left, of course. I still live with my family, and for now.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, every day I lord the possibility over them. I'm really, really, of the four people in the family... I'm the only one whose continued residence is elective. I mean, not because my...
You're sort of like the adjunct dad?
Well, no, I mean, my children obviously don't have a choice. You know, they can't leave. My wife, you know, technically, legally, she's allowed to leave the property. But what's she going to do?
Yeah.
In other words, in all seriousness, she would never leave the kids. So... Really, I'm the only person who could just be like, okay, you know what? You don't want to eat that broccoli? Fine, I'm out. And I do it 3 times a day. So that's piece of advice number one. Can we get maybe some sort of piece of advice stinger for advice wisdom?
Advice wisdom.
I think mainly people are going to come to you in the guise of trying to tell you something useful when what they're really trying to do is scare the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, and that starts from the beginning. I think the self-doubt, wouldn't you say, Scott? The self-doubt is something you need to really start thinking about now.
I think Adam's got that covered.
Yeah,
it's true, check. I got it. I like sleep, so I'm going to miss that one. What else? I've had people tell me it's horrible, and then I've had other people tell me that those people are horrible.
Well, how do you feel right now?
I'm confident. I'm going to do it, man.
That's the right attitude. How long have you been telling people?
Well, I told Scott, for instance, when we saw each other in Portland, because it was like a face-to-face kind of what else is new kind of conversation.
Right. And we also didn't have anything else to talk about.
Right, exactly.
So we were sitting there in silence at the hotel restaurant.
Talking about pyramid schemes.
Yeah, talking about pyramid schemes or fountains.
I would love to come back to that. I think that's a pretty rich...
Yeah, we should.
I don't want to be a dick about it, but you kind of fucked up.
We should. It was a good conversation. I steamrolled a really good conversation.
I mean, it was a pretty good one. I think it had some momentum. Not a big deal. So really, in the last couple of weeks, you're talking about it.
Yeah, last couple of weeks.
Does your family know?
Yeah. Well, now they do.
How do they feel?
Oh, they're ecstatic. Everyone's ecstatic. It was not an accident. Even though we're not married, we're birthing a child. Birthing?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Sure.
For birthing a child out of wedlock. I don't know how people feel about that in modern times.
I think if Britney's already done it, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You're in L.A. You know, I mean, I think that's the kind of thing. It's going to be fine.
Sure. We're as good as married.
Yeah. As long as you don't have the baby in a Sentra in like a Best Buy parking lot, then it's fine.
I'm going to run and get some cables. I honestly don't know how to proceed. This is amazing. It's, Jesus, way to fucking spring it on me. Wow.
I fucked it all up.
You did. You fucked it up. This should just be a baby call now. This is exciting.
I mean, we don't have to be jokey about it, but it's delightful and fantastic. It is so
great. It is delightful. Let's backtrack.
No.
UCB.
UCB.
No, I'm sorry. I'm being the karma suck. I'm taken aback. It's really exciting. I didn't know this was happening, and it's like I'm just, you know, processing it. You've got to be so excited.
Oh, I am very excited.
It's funny because, I mean, this really shows, Merlin, you're a good person because I'd kind of like forgotten about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't forgotten.
You got a lot of things on your mind right now, Scott. It's when you're unemployed, there are so many things that you didn't used to have to think about. Right? You would get up every day. You tolerate your family for, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You go to your job. I'm guessing drink, have lunch, and drink a little more.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
You call up, Adam Carolla, and you go home.
Yeah.
And drink some more. And then at any point, you could just say, da-da-da-da. Don't push daddy. Daddy walks. Daddy's got the keys.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I got to share some of that burden of being at home. It was really a terrible idea.
You don't get a break, do you?
Nobody tells you that when you want to quit your job. Nobody tells you that you're going to get really bad at doing everything.
Oh, they make it sound so easy.
It's really, you guys are, you guys know exactly what it's like.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I went through it a few years ago, I think now.
You end up craving that tyranny of structure. You crave it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you feel like, where did the time go during the day? Or why did I waste another day? Like, now I'm going to die. This day is in the can. I didn't do anything. You've no longer got that regimented schedule. And so you don't necessarily know if it's Thursday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're walking around in your Thursday bathrobe and it's Sunday. It's embarrassing. You're walking around the neighborhood, and on the back it says Thursday.
Look at that guy.
Asshole.
Yeah, I felt that at every step of the way, because like every job I've ever had, all I could think about was like how much it sucks and how much I want to leave, how much I want to go home, how much like everybody, I hate everybody there, and I want to be anywhere else, and I want like to not have to think about like I've always hated Sunday nights and the whole like the week is coming, the tyranny of that. But now if my family leaves for one night, I like descend into a feral state. They're gone, and pretty soon I'm quivering in a pile in the dark. I've gone through like every single one of my devices in like 90 minutes.
Right.
I'm just not sure what to do next.
Yeah.
You know, I have this, you know, it's like there's people that show up the first year of college and they've been studying really hard for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon, like they're just covered with body hair and not wearing shoes.
Yeah. Oh,
they just quit going to classes and they buy a skateboard and shit. Like,
that is sad.
Are you doing that, Scott? I mean, you seem like, the thing is, you're very fit.
Right.
You know, obviously you take care of your body. I mean, yeah. Are there kinds of structure that you've introduced yourself that help keep you on track?
Yeah, I've kind of set up like a fake job schedule for myself. So I wake up in the morning. I tell my wife I'm going to work at the company because I have not told her that I quit my job yet.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing you want to... not spring, it's the kind of thing you want to insert really slowly.
Just sort of seep in references to not having been to an actual job where I'm getting paid in the last several months.
You're just across the street in a lawn chair, just with a newspaper.
Just behind a Japanese folding screen so she can't see me. In my Thursday bathrobe. So I wake up and then I come into the computer room and I do a little computer room work, which was... really a challenge because work right now for me, trying to figure out how to do more creative stuff, it really just involves surfing YouTube and masturbating kind of alternately.
Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you guys. I feel like you have more worthwhile experience to offer me than we have to offer Adam.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
No, that's a dead end. There's plenty of advice out there about how to ruin your children, but I think if there's any pyramid scheme that we could offer to people, if I could say for myself, I don't know if I have the kind of Svengali nature that would bring people around and make them want to invest in this, but yes, Scott, you have taken two very important steps into a whole new world. masturbating in the YouTube is, a lot of people don't get to that for the first few weeks because of their dignity and their hygiene. And personally, I have to say, I think you're on your way. I mean, I don't want to make it weird, but are you riddled with self-doubt yet?
No, I mean, the only moral dilemma is whether to put a towel down.
That'll go away. They call that the crusty quarter. Merry Christmas, honey.
Hands in a derby.
It is so weird to realize how much I rely on. Like, I'm not a big fan of stuff like deadlines, mm-hmm. but even just things as simple as, like, I'll go like, I've got a phone call next week. And I just feel so overwhelmed by it. Whereas I used to, like, when I had a job, I would go in and have, like, you know, just an endless number of things to do.
Right.
And now with the theoretical freedom to do whatever the heck it is that I do, it just it descends, you know, so quickly. Now, Adam, when you made the adjustment, you initially went from working in that echoey room where the guy farted to working on your own. Did you have any kind of, were there bumps to getting used to working independently?
Well, I was horrible at it. I was the worst unemployed guy ever, and it all came from my love of sleep, because at that point, Roxana was still working her full-time job, and that gave me freedom to not wake up until at least past noon and start my self-employment.
Yeah, she's not there to be mad.
Right.
She's already gone. She's not going to know if you're sleeping.
Yeah, I remember having had a phone conversation with Jesse Thorne where he was trying to motivate me to finish something that we were working on together. And he said, just try waking up at 10:30. I remember, like, I looked back at that, and I remember that being my motivational target.
Spoken like a man who wears spats.
I mean, yeah, I sucked at it. And I did the whole, like, excessive onanism thing in the crusty corner, but yeah, we have a dog, so it's, and wooden floors.
Yeah, whatever you drop, they'll just pick it right up.
Right.
Sorry. You know how education works. You can only really introduce so much at a time based on what somebody's ready to hear.
Yeah.
And I don't want to overteach, because I do have a lot of expertise in this. I just want you to understand that you're not going to stop masturbating. You're not going to do it less. You might do it differently, right? Because now you got the time to explore. Mm-hmm. And I think really it's more of like you're going to even it out. It's like jogging, except, you know, with your penis at home.
No, you know, my problem now is that I've so thoroughly exhausted all the available options of quote-unquote traditional pornography
that,
you know, I see like an orange roll down the street and that's where I am. That's what gets me excited.
It's very
now.
Sexy.
It's a dirty orange.
Eventually, you're going to stop considering it an accomplishment every time.
you tick it off the list for the day.
You stop getting points for it.
Right.
I think it's, I certainly do feel like you guys could offer me, just like we can offer Adam real world wisdom on his life change, you could offer me real world wisdom for my life change. And as you say, Merlin, you want to do it in a sort of graded way. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm sort of a first grade or the tier one or whatever you guys want to call it of your unemployment school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As I say, I think you're taking some important steps. I would be careful about the area just under the desk, but you don't want to take on too much at once. You want to know your limits. I think if I were you, Scott, I would give myself 90 days to just be a mess. You just need to just unload, unclench, and just let shit happen for a while.
90 days.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it depends on what you can afford and what your wife can put up with. Maybe you should get like a hotel room or something.
Oh, that's an idea. That's a good idea.
You might need to go a little bit Martin Sheen for a while.
Right.
Just get a room and a mirror and do some kung fu and just kind of see what happens.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
You just have somebody ship me 1,000 mosquitoes from Thailand and see if I can get some dengue fever or malaria. Just really up the body temperature.
It's something everybody struggles with when they first try to do something on their own, is you realize how you thought you were so fucking smart that you could go and do this stuff on your own.
Yeah.
And then when you go, and it's not like it's hard, you immediately feel, as you say, like a first grader.
Yeah.
You're there like wondering where your juice box is and like what time recess is. And the thing is, it's always recess.
Right.
That's the thing. You don't actually have to do anything. You can just stay in that Thursday bathrobe all week. Nobody's going to like come in and say, you know, Mr. Simpson, you need to move to Friday.
Right, right. If there were only some sort of podcast I could listen to that discusses these types of issues, I guess there isn't. Yeah.
Do you guys talk about unemployment stuff a lot or not, or self-employment stuff a lot?
Is that directed to you, Scott?
Yeah. So I and my garbage man friend, Leroy, we talk about that all the time. It's called a...
Who's the Tom Waits song now?
It's a...
Our garbage man friend Leroy heard a conversation about what to do when you're at home.
Did you have a question for the sandwich?
Have you done the thing yet with the sonogram where you can see what it looks like?
Oh, yeah.
No way, really?
I shot video of the ultrasound.
Oh, and, it's the best. Oh, that's,
you
know, so
you can
exciting.
See the little creature moving its arms and legs around. And
you can make art about it?
Yeah, no.
I heard a guy on the NPR, he pulled out his iPhone, recorded his kid's heartbeat and made a song out of it.
Right, right.
That made me so angry.
Okay, let's be honest.
You get real fucking weird when you have a kid. You get real stupid.
You get very stupid, and you do what you know you shouldn't do. You know you shouldn't make art about your impending child or your soon-to-arrive child. But I myself wrote a 30-page letter to my future son that has long since been burned. But it had all of what I thought was the wisdom I could share with him.
Oh. And then you met him.
Yeah.
Did you put jokes in it? Or was it all just super serious?
I think that's the thing, that when you're in that phase, at least temporarily, just totally bleached out of you is irony or the sarcastic impulse.
Yeah.
Right?
We're probably going to name him something real weird and stupid, though.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. No, I would love to talk about names.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Well, to your point, Scott, I totally agree, and I get misty like you. I'm a crier, and I did that for a while. I would do this like, I'm going to save this for you, and it's like, when's the last time your parents gave you something when you were 3 months old, and you went, wow, that's terrific. That's given me a lot of insight into how to conduct my life.
Oh, that's some hair that I once had on my head. That's no longer.
Oh, that's
my head.
Terrific. Did you keep any more of my shoes?
Wow,
thanks. That's going to be handy.
My mom actually saved all of my hair.
Period. Full stop.
Just all from when I was born till when I was 20.
Is that like a mason jar kind of thing, or do you make a decoupage? Like, where does that go?
I mean, it's a mason garbage bag, but she was a saver, and she would pull out those things.
I remember being a little kid and seeing a little lock of my hair in there, and even at a very tender age, I thought, Mom, you are so super freaky.
Yeah, and I also think...
It was kind of moldy looking. It was like, why do you have my hair in a bag?
Exactly.
Like, that's so Silence of the Lambs. And it wouldn't be made for another 20 years.
Exactly.
It's from that first haircut. That's when they save your first lock of hair, right?
I don't know. I think she might have been coming in when I was sleeping. She was creating memories.
I feel like a lot of that stuff suffers from the same unfortunate problem that a lot of modernist painting from the 50s and 60s suffers from now. What was almost certainly once a very vibrant canvas using brand new materials to create it, like, I don't know, like tomatoes or whatever, has in the last 40 years, because of atmosphere and chemistry, just become sort of a brown glob. And so I think like a baby book that once seemed sort of vital and alive is now just sort of a thickly paged, crusty series of brown globs that meant something to older generations.
Well, you also think about the fact, I mean, not to make it dark, but you think about, you know, when my grandmother was a kid, like, people just died. And that brown glob might be all you had. You know, you might have a line drawing and a glob and like, something from a corner, and that was, like, really all you had. It was less of a baby book than a baby booklet, you know, where you had to cling to all that. And now, right. Like, I've got, like, 1,400 pictures of my kid, like, you know, eating at the Tan Fran Mall. I think I've got that pretty well documented.
Every day we go to the food court and we buy a slice of pizza. She eats a slice of pizza. I take a picture.
On the same corner.
And I've made a movie out of all those pictures. Here we go.
Hold it cuter.
It's called Girl Getting Fat.
Hold it cuter. No, hold it so I can see the Jollibee sign in the background.
Hold it cuter.
Hold it cuter.
Adam, do you feel like you are... Yeah. Very connected to this process right now, or how are you feeling generally? Are you feeling like you're very comfortable with what's about to come, or do you
I'm
have any
super
anxieties?
Into it. Yeah, I mean, Roxanne is in like a lot of discomfort.
Sure,
and
sure.
I don't know what to do about that because I just like, I mean, I can give her back rubs and I can whisper and say all the right things, tell her how beautiful she looks because she really does. Oh man, I never knew I had a pregnant lady thing, but apparently it's right there.
Mm. You know, a lot of I don't want to speak for your own lady, but a lot of the ladies get super randy. Just yeah. So you know,
it's not quite that hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yeah. yet.
You should show her some movies. Yeah. Just gonna give her some
she'll
ideas.
Like that. Well, like pregnant movies
or like childbirth documentaries. Yeah. Look at that.
I'll just come home with the miracle of birth.
I'm gonna give you a back rub, and I'm gonna whisper. And I want you to watch this DVD.
Did you guys do a doula for your childbirth?
We almost did a doula.
You almost did. Okay. Scott?
We didn't la.
You did.
Every potential doula we met was insufferable.
Oh, really? In what way? God. Just like too much?
Oh, it's like if your mother-in-law was a yoga teacher and you paid her.
Yeah. Oh, no. Made a huge mistake.
No, nothing. Nothing. No. Don't get me wrong. It's a great idea.
And finally,
so you're rolling doula.
We met one. Well, somebody has convinced us that it's a great idea, and so I want to prepare in every way, and I want to cover all the bases. And this is the thing. I certainly know that I'm no expert. Roxana seems to think we can cover it on our own. Hmm. But, you know, we do. We're silly people, and we do things wrong a lot. So I just feel like we'll accidentally...
There's nothing wrong with the doula, but, I mean, it's something where you start out wanting this role. But then, you know, it's like anything, whether it's like going to be an assistant or a house cleaner or a wife. It has to be somebody that you like as a person before you like them as a role. Because the doula is basically a lawyer for the mother.
That seems like very good advice, actually.
Yeah, that is good advice.
And so, you know, if you've got somebody like who wears lots of chunky jewelry and kind of makes this face, you know, a lot, you know, Scott, I can't imagine you with a doula. I could see you guys just having showdowns all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. I mean, I just, of course, the typical sort of doula type with like a Volkswagen bus with a coexist sticker on the back, like that's not something I could handle. We interviewed a doula. There's a guy who insisted on wearing a flight attendant's costume. That's not true, actually.
That's fun.
That just came to me as a funny image. Like at the moment of birth, when your wife looks over,
like he's doing he's demonstrating how to inflate
oxygen mask.
he is just really involved, and he knows what he's doing, and he's in control of the situation. That's all.
I see.
That's my tip. So Merlin's tip is, like the person, get to know them as a person. My tip is, make sure they're a man who wears a flight attendant costume.
Are you writing this down, Adam?
Yeah, thank you. This is good stuff.
This is where we should also insert another one of the advice stingers.
Advice. Wisdom.
So you have a doula, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, we might. We're not decided yet.
Oh, I see. So, okay.
Does she call a lot, like bugging you to find out if you're closing the deal? I mean, is it?
No, she hasn't done that, to her credit.
Doulas are in demand, in my experience.
Yeah. I got the number of a doula on day one. We got the number of a doula, highly recommended. And we interviewed her, and she's cool. She's cool.
Nice.
I just don't know yet. We're undecided, and I don't want to blow it either way. I just want to do everything right, you know?
You won't.
Yeah, you've already.
This is the other thing, is that we have two sets of parents with us, and they're both very good mothers.
You mean in the actual suite?
In the OR, probably in the OR. I was in the OR for my sister's delivery.
Wow, interesting, interesting. I come from a long line of people who, yeah, I mean, even the dad wasn't in the room. I mean, I was barely in the room. I was enjoying the hot tub.
I was asking if there was an annex. Is there some kind of a reflective annex that I could go to? You know what? The other thing that would be nice, I would bring in Alan Arkin, the great character actor Alan Arkin. I think Alan Arkin would be nice to have there. You want a certain amount of, you know, just manic energy there.
That's good. That's really good.
Maybe he could be your doula. I think Alan Arkin could be a great doula.
You're doing
doula.
Good. You're doing very good.
And he's wearing just a very tasteful dark suit. Well done.
Don't stop breathing. Don't stop breathing.
Are you going to finish that?
I do like the idea of a Hirschfeld annex of fathers waiting. It's attached to the hospital. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not.
No.
It's not like a Ronald McDonald House where it's across the street. It's attached to the hospital.
A Ronald McDonald House would be so handy.
Oh, God. Right?
God, Scott, think how you could use that right now.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be nice? You know, there should be Ronald McDonald Houses for way more things. Because, okay, no. Wait a minute. Here's the thing. Like, yes, you want to be nearby something, blah, blah, important that's happening, family health, something, something. But, like, I don't know if you had this, Scott, but, like, after our daughter was born, I slept on a lot of very uncomfortable things.
Great point. Yeah, exactly.
In a facility. And it was really like it was designed to be some kind of punishment for what I'd done. You know, it's like you ever sleep on, like you go to a friend's house and like, oh yeah, we got a bed. Yeah. And you go there, it's not even a futon. It's like a chair that turns into a bed.
Yeah, yeah.
They've worked that out ahead of time and that's what the dad sleeps
that's
on.
That's right, yeah. Woman gets the sleep number, man gets the half a bean bag.
But if there was a Ronald McDonald House.
What is a Ronald McDonald House?
Well, a Ronald McDonald House,
it's a terrific idea.
Wonderful idea. It's where people who have, correct me if I'm wrong, Merlin, but people who have children with chronic disorders.
Your kid's got to go to Sloan Kettering to get some kind of special, you know, treatment for their cancer or what have you. Mm-hmm. And the family wants to be nearby. And so Ronald McDonald has bought a house nearby that you can stay in to be near your kids. It's a terrific idea.
Oh,
it's a wonderful
nice?
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there are a few downsides. You can only eat hamburgers and chocolate shakes while you're there.
That's funny.
Can I stay at a Taco Bell house?
Stupid.
Senor Lisa Gore, would you like to make a, how you say, run for the border?
Oh, my gosh. Although, last time I had a chalupa, I wish I had access to an epidural. Sorry.
Stinger.
Sorry. But that was easily the worst 45 seconds of material we've ever produced.
This is just, we got to just start it all over. We've got to just,
boy.
We should all just go do some stretching exercises and come back.
I ruined it. I fucked it up.
No, you didn't. You fucked it down.
No, he fucked it up. No question. That's not fair. What if I came in Ronald McDonald you? Hey, you know, it'd be funny. You know, we're always trying to start a business. What if we got people to pay us? I got ball cancer! No, go ahead.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
I got nothing.
I have a podcast with an unemployed Chinese grocer friend called Bach to Work.
China?
I don't know what that means.
You want to start, you want to do it again?
No. I have a Pioneer. I have a Pioneer.
It's getting worse. Yeah. It's getting worse. Pick it up.
This is suddenly it's like the blooper reel from like Cannonball Run 7.
I have a podcast with an unemployed composer friend called Bach to Work.
Oh God.
No, wait. Okay, wait. I have a friend of mine,
four guys from Germany called Bach to Craft Work.
I have a podcast with a chiropractor friend who's limited to a wheelchair called Back to Walk. All right, hold on.
Oh God.
I have a friend.
I have one about masturbating with a famous historian called Whack to Burke.
I have a podcast with a friend who likes to fry candy called Brock's to Walk.
All right. I have a podcast with babies. Jesus Christ, babies.
Babies. Come here, baby. I'll hold you.